All right. Obviously, tough news yesterday, but kind of a confirmation as far as what all that has been going on. Human remains consistent with the description of Blue Point native Gabrielle Petito, found in the National Forest, Wyoming. That's where she was last seen before disappearing. Again, that cross-country road trip with her fiancé. We'll break it all down with no better than our own Joe Jacqueline, the Sarge, of course, the crime report you hear on Fridays. Right around this time, Joe, with 20 years, NYPD, cold case squad, the whole nine yards, and nice enough to give us a couple of minutes on a busy Monday for him. Joe, thanks again. And, you know, we all kind of expected it, you know, twists and turns over the last couple of weeks, like we have never seen in a case of this nature. Maybe you have similar, not for me, I tell you, reporting on this stuff. But all in all, you know, it kind of culminated with what we all thought would happen, you know?
Yeah, so, I mean, we kind of touched on it Friday, but we never wanted to dash anybody's hopes, especially family members or any friends that might be listening in, you know? But, you know, the reality of these things are, once it goes that long, they generally don't end well. And if you recall, when we spoke about this on Friday, I said that, you know, the boyfriend had lawyered up, so they weren't going to get anything out of him. However, this was going to be a technology case, and that's exactly what it's turned out to be, right? They got cell phone records, and there was a YouTube blogger, right? Somebody who goes does their travel thing, was going through the area and actually captured the van, you know, in their travels on the video. And they had turned it over to the FBI, and that's the body wasn't found too far from where that van was spotted. I don't know if you heard about that. But also, if you look at the pictures of the van, you can clearly see a flip-flop in the back of the van, you know, and on the floor towards the rear of the cargo area, which could be interesting because when you remember the police stop that she had flip-flops on. So it's going to be interesting to see if that's the tie-in there. I mean, I think it's too much of a coincidence that shoe is there. So it's now wait and see. I'm a little disappointed that they weren't keeping tabs on the boyfriend down in Florida. That disturbs me that now they're looking for him. And, you know, there's reports now that they've maybe have found something in regards to him. So unfortunately, these cases, you know, take a lot of time, and people say, well, you know, how come they didn't get on this thing right away? Well, listen, I mean, they got those cell phone records. They reported that they got the cell phone records yesterday, that they reported, but that doesn't mean that they got them yesterday. I hope not. I mean, you could get those things without the warrant immediately in your hand. You can get it with the warrant, you know, the promise to have the warrant coming. The district attorneys are working on these cases, too, so these things get written up automatically.
Joe, a couple of things that bothers me. You made a great point, by the way, the flip-flop. No one's really talked. That's why you have Joe on. He's the best. Two things bother me here, okay? Laundrie returns home September 1, right, to Florida. And by the way, you know, every department has a spokesperson. This Josh Taylor, you know, I don't like his flippant attitude and everything else. He's been asked questions, very defensive. I think you're right. Why didn't anybody put a surveillance on this guy? He returns home in the van, okay? The van that Gabby Petito owned returns home, drove the van from Wyoming back to Northport, Florida, folks. That's like Sarasota, okay, West Coast. And didn't anybody have a question as far as, okay, maybe we should kind of figure something out and keep a watch over this guy? Not only that, you go back to the other thing that bothers me, as well as many others. You know, he wants to take a hike, a hike of some sort, tells his parents. Yeah, that's on a Tuesday, right? And Friday, they tell police finally what went on. Knowingly, they found his Mustang, the parents did, in the wilderness somewhere by the Carlton Preserve and everything else going on, the Hatchie Park or whatever it's called, and they take the Mustang. Why didn't they alert authorities then on that Wednesday? Why only Friday did we all find out that this guy was missing since Tuesday? I mean, there are so many things in this case that bother me, and you know what? I'm not even an investigator, and you can kind of figure out what went awry here, it seems. You know, kind of common sense stuff, you know, Joe?
Yeah, no, like I said, I'm disappointed in many of the things. Like I said, we don't have a timeline of when these things were actually retrieved in regards to cell phone records, the internet records. You know, we touched on this on Friday. I said it was a technology case, right? Cell phone records, internet records, GPS locations. Excuse me. You know, the cell phone towers. We didn't hear any talk from the police about her cell phone, about her social media, nothing like that. So they could, we could pinpoint when she stopped, you know, putting out stuff on her social media pages, and then we can pretty much surmise that's the day that she died. You know, and that's an important part of the timeline, right? So then from the moment those things stop to the moment this kid returns back to Florida with her van, I mean, the van should have been taken immediately. If I recall correctly, it was there for a bit. I mean, these are the things that kind of make you scratch your head. Now, I could be wrong with some of the timelines per se in regards to when property was seized and search warrants, but I don't remember hearing anything about a search warrant even in the house. All the different things that you would normally deal with in a case like this, I didn't really see right away or didn't see at all.
I'm talking with Joe Jacklin, of course, the investigation. Body found matches the description of Gabby Petito, the 22-year-old from Blue Point. So, in essence, what's the next steps here? You have the 23-year-old laundry kid on the run. You know, who knows if him alive, my goodness. You talk about a head start as far as getting away. Who knows where he is, if he's still alive. Number two, you got the coroner from the state of Wyoming doing their thing. And I guess that is the big next step, right? As far as if this particular situation is actually declared officially a homicide, correct?
Yes. Now, next thing, it will be the medical examiner working with the coroner if it is what the cause and manner of death is, right? So the manner of death is only five: natural, accident, suicide, homicide, undetermined. So they were looking to see if it's going to come down to homicide or accidental or what have you. And then, of course, the cause of death, how she died, whether it's strangulation or, you know, usually in these kind of, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, whatever it may be, you know, significant others, generally you see a blunt force trauma or some sort of, asphyxiation or strangulation. So I think we'll probably see one of those as the cause of death coming out. Like I said, we'll wait to see what happens from the medical examiner's point of view. But, yes, I mean, that's the next possible, key into what happens next in this investigation. Like I said, now, and here we are. Now, people say, well, you know, he wasn't, you know, he was a suspect, but he, you know, didn't have probable cause to arrest him. But I said, yeah, but you could keep tabs on somebody. Now we're going to be wasting so much time, effort, and money looking for this kid. You know, that's the reason why you keep tabs on people, so you wouldn't have to go through this. I mean, this could take God knows how long. If he's on the run, right, he had a nice full head start. It doesn't mean he's not going to be
caught. And the other thing is, who knows? If the parents set up this kid, maybe he's in Mexico. You know, and you, good luck trying to have extradition there, you know, somewhere. I mean, the possibilities exist as far, I mean, the parents. How much accountability on the laundry parents at this point in time? Is there any that you could foresee here?
Well, I think once the technology can prove that also, right? So at this point, I think getting cell phone records of the family members is important too, right? We want to see if anybody's been communicating with them, whether it's, text messages or phone calls, emails, whatever it may be. So this is something that as soon as he had disappeared, I think this was something that should have been done. I don't know if it was or not. But I think that's an important aspect of it, too. And if they find out that they colluded with him or helped him escape, then, I mean, there could be criminal charges as well. I don't know. They generally don't do that. They usually don't aiding and abetting. They generally don't charge those things, believe it or not. But it's just something that leverage they can hold over somebody's head to try to help them out to find out where the person is.
You know, the first thing that comes to mind is you're harboring a fugitive, correct? I mean, somehow, can you link the parents to that aspect of this?
Yeah, they're the parents, though. So, I mean, it's like a lot of people would fall into this trap because it's your kid. So that's why I said generally it's not charged. They could, but like I said, I don't think that we're going to see that in this case. But the issue that you're dealing with now is the resources and the money that you're spending looking for this person when you could have been, you had eyeballs on them the whole time and you let them slip through your fingers. And now this becomes a bigger mess because if he does, you know, commit suicide or he's on the run or whatever it may be, you need to find either him or the body. And in this case, won't be closed until you do that.
Northport, Florida, took over this investigation from Southwick. As far as police fund, they've done a lousy job, in my estimation. They really have. I'm sorry. Now, listen, you want to tell me about I's dotted, T's crossed? Put this kid on the surveillance timeline. This kid returned home on September the 1st. Now, listen, I understand the official missing person. It's the other thing with the parents. I don't want to come down on the potatoes at all. They're going through enough already. But, you know, we talked about last week that on or around August 25th was the last communication they had with their daughter. They finally filed the missing persons report. I think it was September the 11th. Joe, I mean, that's 17 days. I mean, that's a long time. I mean, I go 17 hours without finding my kid. I mean, I'm already on an airplane. I can't figure it out. I just think there's been a lot of missteps here. You and I spoke last week about, you know, this investigation has been like molasses as far as waiting for the next event to occur with really not taking the reins properly. And again, you're in this business more than anyone. I just find a lot of missteps with this whole thing. I mean, ever since this thing came into the spotlight, you know, you go back to the Moab, Utah incident on August the 12th. It was kind of a nonchalant, okay, you stay in the van, you go to a hotel, and let's all be friends the next day. I mean, come on. Just a lot of bumps in the road here, Joe.
Yeah, that's not the way you handle domestic incidents. You know, that would have never flown over here, especially in the age of body cameras and everything else. And, I mean, the issue to come down to is if listen, we could pick apart investigations like this all day long, but it's just there were some major, major missteps, and that's part of the problem. And it is important that the missing person report gets filed as fast as possible because when you have a 17-day period in between, you know, I mean, here's the other thing. Now, the medical examiner's up against, you know, decomposition at this point, too. So it might be difficult for them to determine exactly what transpired unless it's something so blatantly obvious. But the issue that comes down to is that this manner of death could still be classified as undetermined because of the decomposition that the body was found in. I mean, we're talking about, you know, 5 weeks now, 4 weeks. It's a problem.
Wildlife and everything else, you know the deal in this park. Freezing cold temperatures, I mean, jeez.
Well, the cold, Joe, this is it's the heat that will get us. The cold actually will help preserve the body, but the insects and the animal activity and everything else that could present a real problem.
Big problem, a big problem trying to find this Brian Laundrie right now. But in essence, you know, you're right. You know, the money wasted and everything else, drones, canines, you know, 50 cops, agencies from 6 different agencies, FBI, swamp buggies. I mean, my goodness, the cost of all of this, I don't know. Something went awry here. They got to figure that one out. But first, they got to determine cause of death for Gabby. And, of course, where in the world is Brian Laundrie right now, dead or alive? Lots still to uncover. Joe will be on it. We will hear, and we will circle back. Joe, thanks for a couple of extra minutes here on a Monday.
Anytime, Jay. We'll talk to you soon.